This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, once again, alhamdulillah, it's an honor and a privilege to be here. Today is my second lecture, second session, and I have to actually make this swift because I just realized my flight is at 5:10. So I have to complete this and then inshallah rush to the airport. The title of my lecture today, you might have seen it in the program description, Mosques and Masajid. They are the bedrock or the foundation of our communities. And why we chose this particular theme and title is because we, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise God for all of us, for granting us the tawfiq, giving us the ability to not just construct and build this particular mosque, but many mosques in and around Oslo and throughout Norway and in the West, in Europe. There's quite a few masjids. Just before Salatul Dhuhr, I just saw we were actually having some pizza right outside, halal pizza, and it was vegetarian pizza, by the way. Across the street, we saw Masjid Ar-Rahma, full of mercy and blessings. And the brothers were with me, they said, well, there's another one down the road called Masjid At-Tawbah, repentance. I said, it looks like one masjid is trying to tell you, you know what? Fear Allah, repent, too many sins. The other masjid is trying to give you the message, Rahmah, mercy of Allah, there's great mercy. And actually, this is what our iman is, though. Al-Iman bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. Belief is between fear and hope. We have been warned not to have too much fear of Allah, too much fear of God, to the extent that we become despondent and we despair. What does Allah say in the Quran? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say to my servants who have oppressed themselves, transgressed, they've committed sins, they've wronged themselves, they've committed crimes, they're guilty of sinful activities. لَا تَقْنَطُوا. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah, because Allah will forgive all sins. And we have many verses like that. But at the same time, Allah tells us in the Quran that don't have too much hope that you think, oh, Allah is Ar-Rahman, Allah is Ar-Rahim, Allah is Ghafoor. Whatever you do, Allah will forgive everything. Like, there's a tendency within some people, it's all about Rahmah, mercy. It's all about, you know, just the mercy of Allah and love of Allah. Islam is in the middle. We have the rahmah, mercy of Allah. Allah will forgive all sins. But at the same time, and that's why if you read the Quran, you will find at every occasion where Allah talks about His mercy, He talks about His punishment. Whenever He talks about His punishment, He'll talk about His mercy. غَافِرِ الذَّنْبِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ. Allah says, He is the forgiver of sins. قَابِلِ التَّوْبِ. He is the one who accepts your repentance. Before we get too happy, Allah says straight away, شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ ذِي الطَّوْلِ. He is very extreme in his punishment as well. Don't get don't become too relaxed. And likewise, whenever Allah mentions punishment, straight away, instantly, Allah mentions His rahmah, His mercy, so that we don't become too fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, this is what we say, al-imanu bayn al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman is between fear and hope. We need the extreme, we need to avoid the extreme of fear and the extreme of hope. We have to mix both of them. We need to have an element of fear and an element of hope, and inshallah with that we will go into the next life. So this was just a side note that we saw two masjids. One was called Rahmah, one was called Tawbah. But alhamdulillah, we should be thankful, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us, that Allah has blessed us in these lands, in these countries. He's given us the ability, He's granted us the tawfiq to erect, to build, to construct masajid, the houses of Allah. But, and there's many rewards in constructing masajid, and helping and assisting in the construction, in the building of any house of Allah, there's amazing rewards. I mean, there's numerous hadith in Al-Bukhari, etc. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever builds a mosque for Allah in this world, as a reward, Allah will build a palace, a home for you in the next life. مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And this is why constructing a mosque, helping in the construction of a mosque, building a mosque, is considered to be one of the greatest forms of ibadah and worship, and one of the righteous deeds that a human being, a Muslim, can do, the benefit of which you keep on receiving even after you leave this world. It's considered to be sadaqatun jariyah. There are certain actions that when you do them, you receive your reward. Like the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that when kullu amal ibn adam alayhi illa, the human being, nothing benefits him except three things. And he said one of them was sadaqatun jariyah, ongoing charity. You constructed a well for the poor orphans, and you've left this world, and after a long time after you've passed away, people are still in that poor country. They are still drinking from that well. You receive the reward. Anything in charity, you constructed a masjid. Until that masjid stands on this planet, and until people are offering salah and worshipping Allah, you keep on receiving rewards. This is a sound hadith. It's not like the question will change. It's a sound hadith. Sadaqatun jariyah, ongoing charity. You donated, you gave some money in the construction of this mosque. You helped and assisted. It doesn't have to be only be financial assistance. It can be in any way, shape or form. Ongoing charity. You keep on receiving the reward. And the other two things mentioned, the other one is a waladin salih yad'u lah. Leave behind pious, righteous, practicing offspring, progeny, children, daughters, sons. That's something that really benefits us in the next life. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? A righteous son or daughter that who makes dua for you. Bring your children up. Remember, the point is not just bringing children, not just, you know, that's it, you want a football team. That's not the idea. Some people think, okay, we just want a football team, you know, 11 players plus the 5 substitutes. You know, you can have your own team in the Premier League. That's not the idea. The idea is not quantity, the idea is quality. Bring up children who will make dua for you, who will carry on, continue with your legacy. Bring up children that will benefit you after you die. Unfortunately, we live in a time that we bring children, but we just suffice with that. We stop. We do not ensure that we bring them up as righteous, practicing Muslims. To the point that I know personally, parents, their father has died. You know, this is a story, seriously, this is a real story. This is not like a made-up, this fact, it's not fiction. The guy phones the imam in the mosque. I think my dad's dead somewhere, I'll pay you, how much is it? Just tell me the bill, I'll send you, just tell me a check, can you sort out his funeral stuff and all the funeral proceedings and burial? I don't have time, I've got an important meeting to attend. A'udhu billahi thumma a'udhu billahi thumma a'udhu billahi. His real blood son. Just don't worry about the bill. Just send me the bill. Is it about the bill? Your father's passed away. You cannot even attend the funeral prayer. Make dua. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. Making dua for your own father. If we do not, you know, preach, or if we do not give them a good, sound Islamic upbringing, then we will have children who will externally be Muslims. Remember, externally being a Muslim is not enough. Islam is not just having a name. Islam is not just being a Pakistani or an Indian or a Bangladeshi or a Kuwaiti or a Iraqi or a Somalian. It's not just a cultural thing. We have to. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. Oh, you who believe, believe. Oh Allah, I already believe. It's like telling a man, man, oh man, be a man. You know when you say to a man, be a man. Does that mean that I look like a woman? No. Meaning, you're not acting like a man. You're not acting, you need to be a man. Likewise, Allah is telling us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. You call yourself a Muslim, by coincidence, by chance, you happen to be born in a Muslim family. We take it for granted. We take it just because, and this is the reason why, you know, a lot of the converts, we see these converts, Baba Ali's a convert, and many others, look at them. Those who actually embrace Islam, many of the times they become far better than Muslims, far better than those Muslims who happen to, by chance, by coincidence, be born in a Muslim family. We just take it for granted, oh yeah, I am a Pakistani, okay, yeah, my name is whatever, something, you know, Shah or something, or Khan or something, okay? Or whatever my name is. And we take it for granted. Remember, that doesn't make you a Muslim. We have to embrace it, we have to live it. And this is what the masajid are all about. This is why we need to bring up children who will make dua for us. So that's the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sadaqatun jariyah. Many rewards. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَعَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Allah says, only those people build mosques. What does Allah say? Only those construct masjids who actually have iman. Allah is testifying in the book, in the Quran. Allah is giving His witness and His shahad and His testimony that only those individuals will have the tawfiq, the divine ability to construct or help in the construction of a mosque. Only those people who have faith and iman, they think about mosques. When they come from back home and they come to these lands, then they want a mosque. If you have iman, before you even think about your job, what do you think about? How will my children be brought up as Muslims in this community? Who will teach my children Quran? Who will give them Islamic education? Where will I offer my Jumu'ah prayer? Where will I offer my Fajr prayer? Where will I offer my five time prayers? The people of faith, wherever they go, in any part of the world, whether in England, whether in America, or whether in Oslo, or whether in Northern Norway, where the midnight sun, you know, we're going to go there soon, inshallah, where the sun descends, like right, even if you happen to live there, the first thing on your head is where and how will I pray and offer my salah. You think about masjid. This is the witnessing given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. So Allah has mentioned this, and so, there are many, many rewards in terms of, there's many verses, I just gave a few. In the rewards and the virtues of constructing, building a mosque and helping and assisting financially or otherwise. However, brothers and sisters, it doesn't stop there. There's a lot of reward, alhamdulillah, before we get too happy that, yeah, we've built masajid. And I'm not specifically talking about just this mosque, any mosque. Yeah, it applies to anywhere in the world. This general reminder for all of us. It doesn't stop there. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which mosque or which house of Allah is considered to be the greatest? Which one? Let me ask you this question. Which one? Anybody? Which is the greatest house of Allah? The Kaaba. right? The Baytullah, the house of Allah. Inna awwala bayt. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi-Bakkah mubarak wa huda lil-alamin. The first house to be constructed, to be built. The first house of worship. And actually the foundations were laid by Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wa afdal taslim, peace be upon him. It's Ibrahim and his son Ismail, peace be upon both of them. They built the house on the foundations already laid by Sayyiduna Adam. And this is why Allah is saying the first house to be built and constructed on planet Earth was constructed by Sayyiduna Adam, peace be upon him. But then over the years, عَلَى مُرُورِ الزَّمَانِ وَالْأَيَّامِ, it got demolished. But then it was reconstructed on the same foundations laid by Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recapping the story of the construction of his house, Baytullah, as constructed by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. It's an amazing, you know, there are two, three amazing verses of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. What does Allah say? He says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلِ. Remember, in the Arabic language, وَإِذْ, those who know Arabic, وَإِذْ means that, وَإِذْ refers to, you know, in the Arabic language, وَإِذْ, remember, it means that whatever's going to be said after this, it's so important that continuously keep it in your mind. Keep on thinking about this. Picture this. Wa'id, remember, keep this in your mind. يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ. Remember the story, remember the time when Ibrahim, peace be upon him, was constructing. يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ. From the foundation, he was raising the foundation and building on the foundation. وَإِسْمَعِيلِ and Ismail. There's a side point here. The commentators of the Quran, they say that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the two, father and son, they constructed the mosque, right? The house of Allah. In the Arabic language, if you say two people did something, normally what would you say? You would say, like, if you said Zayd and Muhammad and Abdullah did something. So you would say, Muhammad and Abdullah did this. In the Quran, Allah should have said, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ الْقَوَاعِدَ. Remember the time when Ibrahim and Ismail constructed the house of Allah and laid the constructed it on the foundations. Allah didn't say that. What did He say? Remember when Ibrahim constructed the house of Allah, he completed the sentence, وَإِسْمَعِيلُ, and then Ismail was with him as well. Understand my point? There's a tacit subtle message here being given as a point of adab and respect. When something is being done by two people and one person's a senior, the adab is to say, not me and my dad, we did it. My dad was doing it, but I was with him as well. This is a subtle message. We see this in the seerah of the Sahaba as well. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. You know Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, you know him? Yeah? You met him? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, he says, you know, the message, he would never, you know, sit around and talk around. After Salatul Isha, he would go to sleep on most nights so that he can wake up for Fajr Salah. But on occasions, he would consult Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu regarding the matters of the welfare and regarding the matters of the Muslims. And I used to also join in. What did he say? I used to also join in. He would actually consult Abu Bakr and Umar. But he said, he would consult Abu Bakr وَأَنَا مَعَهُمَا, and I would be also there, like I'm just a junior. And this is the adab and etiquette. Anyway, what does Allah say? When Ibrahim and joined by Ismail, they construct, Allah is telling us the story. Now, you know when the story is being mentioned, this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, such an important episode, such an important event, historical event in the history of humanity. The first, you know, the house of Allah is being constructed, laid and rebuilt on the foundations. It's one of the historical events in the history of not just Muslims, but of all the religions and all the faiths. Something, a house of Allah. Allah is telling us the story. You would imagine Allah would say, okay, this is how they built it. Ibrahim took one stone, one brick, he brought it. Ismail helped him with another brick. And then they laid the foundations. This much money was donated, this much money was spent. This is how tall the building is. This, you know, how many feet, how many floors, how much this, how much that. None of that's mentioned. Allah left all those details. More important than that, Allah only said one thing about the time when they built the house. He said, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Allah said, you know what? All the details of how they constructed, that's one on one side. That's on one side. You get the reward, but that's not as important as the dua and the supplication and the prayer that they made whilst constructing. He never talked about how tall the building was and how much effort they put into constructing the house of Allah. He said, don't worry about all of that. The thing to remember and the thing that I like the most and which I now place in my Quran is the dua. Whilst they were building the house, they said, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Oh my Lord, oh our Lord, accept it from us. Accept it from us. This is a message being given. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Oh Allah, accept it from us. It's not a big deal. It's not that I've done a big job. And this is a lesson being given to us. That when we build houses of Allah, when we construct masajid, or for that matter, any righteous deed we do, you write a book, you're delivering a lecture, you're conducting a conference, there's no big deal. Allah is saying, do not have pride. Don't have arrogance. And this is a problem in our community. When we do something big, you know, that's it. You know, look, I am a pillar in the community. I am the imam of the mosque. I am the author of so many books. I travel the world and I give lectures. I'm the head of the committee. I'm the head of the organization. You know, there's a ghurur and kibr and fakhr. This is what Allah is saying. Look at this, Ibrahim and Ismail, peace be upon them. Remember, Allah has used you. You're nothing. You're nobody. Allah is using you. Allah could have used an ant. Allah could have used anyone else for that matter. Allah has granted you tawfiq. Allah can take that tawfiq away from you. Make dua. رَبَّنَا تَقَبْلْ مِنَّا We're saying to Allah, Oh Allah, I have helped in the building and the construction of this mosque. But you know what? You might not accept it because my niyyah might not be correct. I might not have ikhlas and sincerity. I may have made hundreds of mistakes. Oh Allah, you cry, you beg. And this is what Islam is telling us. We worship Allah, then we cry to Allah, Oh Allah, accept this worship. My worship, my salah is not to the level that it befits you. I am asking you to accept my worship. This is the dua we should regularly make, brothers and sisters. Seriously, it's so important. Whatever we do Islamically, at the end of it, always make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, accept it. You know what I've done? There's 101 mistakes, thousands of mistakes. It's full of deficiencies, it's full of errors. And we need to constantly remind ourselves that acceptance, qabuliyah, is in the hands of Allah. There's two words, qabiliyah and qabuliyah. Qabiliyah means capability. That's one thing. You could be capable of doing something. You could have all the knowledge, you could have all the wisdom, you could have all the leadership skills. You could be the best orator, you could be the best speaker, you could be the best writer. But qabuliyah is in the hands of Allah. Allah can throw everything away. So what? You know, big deal. We don't accept nothing from you. And that's why constantly we need to make the dua. And this is what this message was being given to us. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُوبْ عَلَيْنَا Oh Allah, forgive us. We are making tawbah. He's building the house of Allah. And what is he saying? Forgive me. For what? Building the house? For the mistakes in the building of the house. For maybe that I think he's out of humbleness. He's a slave of Allah. Ibrahim, he's a prophet of Allah. And of course, the aqidah of the Sunnah wa Jama'ah is that prophets, they don't commit sins. But he, out of his humbleness and humility, is saying that, you know, forgive my sins, O Allah. Both of them, Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. And then they carried on with the dua. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ رَبَّنَا وَاجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ O Allah, make us, both of us, make us muslimain. Make us Muslims. That's one translation. They were not just Muslims, They were the prophets of Allah. So what does it mean, make us Muslims? Muslims here means make us what? Completely submitted. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَ بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. Some other verses. We have been commanded to submit from head to toe to the command of Allah, to the orders of Allah, to the guidance in the Quran and Sunnah. Make us completely submitted. This is also giving us a message that, look, you know, when you build a masjid, don't just sit on your, don't just sit and think that that's it, our duty is done. Erecting, constructing the houses of Allah, they are very important. Many rewards. Allah has said the people of faith and iman are the only ones who construct masajid. But remember, brothers and sisters, it doesn't stop there. That's just a means. Masjid is only a means to an end. It's not the objective, the goal, the purpose, the aim in of itself. There's a maqsad. This is just a dhari'a or a wasila. It's a means to an objective. And you know what that objective is? To come and offer prayers. To worship Allah. To become submitted to the command of Allah. We can have a brilliant masjid. Nicely decorated and adorned. And millions of dollars spent and pounds spent. But if that masjid is empty, like the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, before the time of judgment comes, what will happen? مَسَاجِدُهُمْ عَامِرَةٌ وَهِيَ خَرَابٌ مِنَ الْهُدَى. This is a sahih hadith. They will build beautifully decorated, adorned masjids, but خَرَابٌ مِنَ الْهُدَى, they'll be void of guidance, because there are not no worshippers in that mosque. So the job doesn't end there. For the people, all of us, the job doesn't end there. It starts there. Building the masjid, after you've constructed it, the job doesn't end there. It starts there. Now the job is to hold programs like this, conferences like this. Make this masjid and all our masajid, it's a bedrock, the foundation of our community. Historically, Muslims, they used to be attached to the houses of Allah. They used to be attached. And actually, in one of the hadiths, I don't know the reference of it, Sahih Muslim maybe, but it's a sound hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about certain characteristics of the believers, that these, the رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. The person whose heart is connected. We always connect ourselves. We're connected. This is our first home before even our own home. You know what they say, is this home or back home? This masjid is the home, first and last. Historically, and you see in the Muslim world, in the Muslim lands, the masjid used to be the foundation, the central place, the meeting place for everything and anything, charity work, social work, worshipping Allah, everything. All the Muslims were linked and attached to the house of Allah. And this is why we have jama'ah, salat bil jama'ah. We could have all offered prayer at home, you know, dhuhr salah, every prayer, pray at home. Why has Islam prescribed congregation? Why? Salatul Jumu'ah, why? Salatul Eid, what's the reason? Reason is so that believers come together. It brings the hearts closer. And that, it gives us, again, goes back to the message of closeness, of love, of unity. Unfortunately, we live in a time the mosques divide us rather than unite us. The whole objective of having mosques was what? Was what? To unite Muslims from every corner of the world. Whether you're purple, you're green, you're white, you're blue, you're purple, or you're yellow with red dots, or whether you're Indian, Pakistani, Kuwaiti, Bahraini, Iraqi, Somalian, African, whatever you are, you should all be united. This is the real true maqsad of the masjid. It's open for everybody. We are all brothers and sisters. We have open doors for everybody. Converts, reverts, born Muslims, born again Muslims, whatever you are. It's open for everybody. And everybody's equal. That's why when we stand in the saf, whether you're a president of the country or whether you're a garbage cleaner, everybody's in one line. You're worshipping Allah. There is no la fadla li arabiyin ala ajami. In this, generally, there is no fadl, there is no virtue for an Arab over a non-Arab. Illa an tufaddilahu bi taqwa. The only person, the only thing that makes you more close to Allah is your God consciousness. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most noble amongst you is the one who fears Allah the most. And nobody knows that. We'll find that in the next slide. So that's the reason. lines are straight. And you know why the lines are so straight? It's very important. You know, when we pray salah, brothers and sisters, it's actually a hukm of sharia, one of the obligations that we ensure that we stand in straight lines. The imam is a job on the imam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would not start his prayer until he wasn't sure that every gap was filled and everyone was in line, in order. He would say, استووا استقيموا اعتدلوا أقيموا الصفوف فإن إقامة الصفوف من تمام الصلاة. And in one hadith he said, لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم. He said, do not have gaps or be bent in your rows. Because if you do that, your hearts will become bent. اختلاف القلوب. And not to be straight in lines is actually a means of hearts not being close to one another. So the main foundation, the main objective of having these masajid is to build bridges, bring Muslims together, bring love, brotherhood and sisterhood. That's the whole objective. And as I said, the job doesn't stop here after constructing the masjid. The masjids are there that we fill the masajid. We should be connected to the mosques. We should frequent, we should try, if you can, and if you are able to live within the vicinity of the mosque, try living. If you have a choice and you have the means, so for some people it's difficult, but your job is such that you can do so, then it's good. It's not a problem. There's actually one hadith when one companion actually was living far, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, it's okay, you live there. So it's not a problem at all. But if someone can and they think they were able to frequent the mosque as much as possible, 5 prayers a day, come in the masjid, Ramadan, try to do i'tikaf, fill the masjid with i'tikaf, which is sunnah, try to stay in the mosque as much as possible. The mosque should be, you know, we should frequent it, it should be filled with worshippers as much as possible. And that's really the spirit, and that's what we see in the Muslim world. Not just in the Muslim world, even in non-Muslim world. You come to England, I don't know if you've been to England, the city from where I come from, Leicester, we have 45 mosques. Yeah, and it's probably the size of Oslo, I think so, Leicester, maybe even smaller. And we have, like, literally, you walk 5 minutes, there is a mosque, another 3 minutes, there is a mosque, 5 minutes, there is a mosque. And you know what? Not just mosques. In every salah, you get 400 people there, 300 in there. In our masjid, Fajr, you get about 200. Dhuhr, you get about 600, 500. Asr, you get 500, 600. Maghrib, Isha, Ramadan, it's like 1,500. You just can't, you know, it's packed upstairs, downstairs. And every masjid, 500, 1,000, 600, 400, 300, 600. Probably, you know, we have many more Muslims, that's why. Okay, so that's probably the reason. But inshallah, you know, try to come to the masjid and keep a connection with whichever mosque. And it's good to frequent various mosques. It's good so that you bring that closeness. It's not that this is a Pakistani mosque, and that's a Somalian mosque, and this is an Iraqi mosque, and this is a Kuwaiti mosque. That's actually wrong. We should try to, إِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. They belong to Allah, open for everybody. And alhamdulillah, it's very pleasing that I see various faces. We have people from the subcontinent, we have Somali brothers, we have this brother here who's from Iraq, and we have people from different places. We have converts, reavers, and which is very pleasing to see. And may Allah always keep us like that, inshallah. So inshallah, that's just my message, because it's had finished at 3 o'clock, but I'm going to end with that, inshallah. That's it, inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to sort of build more masajid, and then to fill them with worship and populate the masajid, inshallah ta'ala. I end with this, and this is my final lecture, and I'm going to be heading back to the airport. So I thank once again the organizers for inviting me, and I pray that Allah accept this conference. May Allah accept it from all those and reward all those brothers and sisters. Remember, it's not, conferences are not just organized by brothers. You have to always remember our sisters. Rather, what the sisters do is more than what the brothers do in many of the occasions. Right? So, and then in the background, they don't come on stage here by giving the talk, but they've done all the background work. And if not, then actually even at least the moral support that they give. But they do actively take part. So may Allah reward all the brothers and sisters and anyone who's helped, and all of you for even coming today, inshallah, and may this continue, and may you have more and more conferences, and may Allah grant you more and more tawfiq, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.